glad to have you this evening. We want to thank all of you for being here. We know that some of you joining with us on Facebook can have what's called a watch party. And if you haven't done that before, I might encourage you to do that. We're finding that there are many people that are going to be connected to you in their friend group that might join us if you host a watch party. It doesn't take much. You just click that button there, and you might be interested in to see who joins you in worship this evening. And that's sort of what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about isolation and community, and trying to find that community in the midst of isolation is a pretty pertinent topic today. But this isn't chosen just for tonight. This is part of our greater series that was chosen months ago here at Cross, where we are talking about sharing the gospel in 7 words. And the goal has been and continues to be that we would attempt to share the gospel in 7 words. Now, 7 words doesn't fill the fullness of God, but what it does is it causes us to think, to focus, and to consider how we might talk about God with someone else in 7 words or less. Not filling them with the fire hose of Jesus, but sharing the hope that we have. The last several weeks, we've had some different topics. We talked about captivity and freedom, and how God frees us from captivity of our sin. We talked about death and life last week, and in death and life, we talked about what that might look like, and how Jesus and God define death and life very differently than we do, and about how if we're never separated from God, then we never die, but live forever. As we consider that, there's a few samples up here of some 7 words that have reflected some of the themes we've talked about, or some of the 7 words that you guys have sent in. And I want to encourage you to do that. If you're watching online, you want to leave it in the comments, that's great. But there's a lot of places out there, so I would love it if you would email me or email Pastor Matt and let us know your 7 words. And that way we might end up on the screen here in the next couple weeks, but also encouraging to us as we sort of hear what's on your heart and the hope that you have. But today, as we look at these different themes, we realize that there's sort of a bad side and a good side. And that's really what it means for us to hear the gospel. The gospel in and of itself is actually bad news before it's good news. And what do I mean by that? I mean, in order to have good news, we have to realize that something bad has happened in the meantime. And that bad news is that creation has turned away from its creator. There are many people who don't want to hear the good news of Jesus because they don't believe this reality. They don't believe that we have turned away from God. They might blame God that he's turned away from us. Or they might blame other people, that other people are the problem, but not themselves. No, if we want to hear the good news and have it be good news for us, we have to realize that we're part of the problem. But it doesn't stay bad news. For as soon as we realize that we're part of the problem, we know we have a Savior. That God's love is so great that no matter how much we've contributed to the problem, His love is greater. And God loves His creation. And that's the theme tonight. We're talking about God desiring to be together with his creation, to be together with us, and for us to be together with each other as well. As we're talking about isolation and community, tonight it seems pretty obvious that it's an important topic. But it didn't start with this stay-at-home, quarantine, lockdown, whatever words you want to use. In fact, loneliness and isolation has been a problem in our country for quite a while. In 2016, Fortune magazine published an article called "Chronic Loneliness is a Modern Day Epidemic." This article describes the loneliness in our nation and the present situation that we find ourselves in. And the moral of the story is that in the 70s and 80s, 1970s and 1980s, approximately 11 to 20% of people would self-report that they felt frequent loneliness. But by 2010, the number had jumped to 40 to 45%. Nearly half of our country experiences not loneliness on occasion, but frequent loneliness, as they would describe it themselves. I think most of us can relate now, especially since we're forced, if you will, to stay at home. Now, I know that there are some people who are really loving this right now, because not everybody loves to be in groups. Many people like to be alone some of the time, and our culture forces them to be together. So some people are doing really well. Some of you have families that have been so busy that you're actually cherishing a little bit of extra time to spend together with all the extracurriculars canceled. But I also know there's many that are struggling with this thing that we call social distancing. Social distancing is sort of a new phrase that we've all become very aware of this year. And as we talk about social distancing, last night I met with our governance board, and one of the members there sort of shared an insight that social distancing sort of puts a negative connotation on being social. And it's important that we remember that social distancing is about being physically distant, but we all need to be connected in relationship. Some people like that connection in different ways. In fact, most of us prefer it different one from another. But we all crave to be connected. So as we're remaining socially distant for our health physically, it's important that we not stay distant relationally, spiritually, emotionally. But that's hard with technology. We've grown closer together as a nation, as a country, as a society over the last years with our phones that we can stay in constant communication with. In fact, if you wanted to, you could text me right now during the middle of this message and tell me something. Didn't used to be able to do that before. But while we've gotten more connected, we aren't closer as a society and a community. In fact, you can still feel lonely even if you're in the midst of a large group. You don't have to be isolated or cooped up at home to feel lonely. It's sort of like how God talks about life and death. God says that you can be walking around and still be dead inside because you're disconnected from Him. And even if you die physically, you remain connected to Him. You never die, for we have eternal life in Christ, and we will rise again. So too with connection and isolation. You can be in a room filled with people and feel completely distant from all of them. And you can be at home alone and feel completely connected. I'm so thankful for this technology that allows us to stay connected as a family of faith. And many of you have commented and shared how the leadership and worship team have made you feel connected. And we're so thankful for that. But it isn't how we desire it to be. No, we desire to be together. That's how God made us. God made us, Adam and Eve, in the garden. And the reason that God made Adam and Eve is because He had only made Adam. And He noticed and said, it's not good for man to be alone. So He will make a helpmate. And they became helpmates one for another. God Himself is really described as in community. We have one God, but He tells us that He has three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not three gods, one. And yet, He expresses Himself in community. He made us in His image to be in community with Him and each other. But it didn't stay that way. You see, the thing that isolates us is sin. Adam and Eve sinned. They've turned away from God, and as a result, turned away from each other. You see, as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing they did was hide from God. They separated from Him because they knew they were in trouble. But the second thing they did, they blamed each other. No, that woman you gave me, God, it's her fault. No, that man, he didn't do what he was supposed to do. And it's been like that ever since in our culture and society. You know what that's like, to have sin cause division, isolation. You felt it in your home, you felt it at work, you felt it in your family, you felt it in friends. We try to stay connected, and yet we don't. You've tried to stay connected through technology, through conversations, through phone calls, but sin makes you feel inadequate, or sin causes others to turn away from you. Sin is what divides us, and sin is what causes us to feel isolated. And unfortunately, the church isn't immune to that either. You could come to church here on Sunday morning and feel completely alone. But that isn't how it's supposed to be. That isn't the way God designed it. God designed us to be in community. Now, community doesn't mean they're always sitting real close together and hanging out in each other's porches all the time, although that's a great picture of community. Community means knowing that you're cared for, that people love you, that they desire what's best for you, and you for them. You have people. You have a group. You know you're loved. We all express that community in very different ways, but God created us to be in community, not isolated, and He works for that over and over and over. I want to share a portion of our reading today again, Psalm 68. It was the Old Testament reading, and it goes like this. It says, "Sing to God, sing praises to His name. Lift up a song to Him who rides through the desert. His name is the Lord. Exalt before Him. Father of the fatherless, protector of widows, is God in His holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home." Father of the fatherless, protector of the widow, settling the solitary in a home. God is a God who restores those who are isolated, who are forgotten, who are overlooked. Restores them in community with Him and with each other. This is how it's intended to be. And this is the work that God has done for us. As we read that psalm, we remember that David is the one who wrote it. And David was filled with sin. We won't go into that tonight. But suffice it to say that David was real good at sin. And he should have been very far from God. But God, remember, His love is greater than our sin. The good news is that Jesus has overcome our sin and restores us, who ought to be isolated, into community. 1 Corinthians 12 says it well. "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jew or Greek, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." We are a body of Christ. Not one of us is unimportant. Not one of us can be overlooked. In fact, if you are home thinking right now that you don't matter or that you don't have anything to offer, then that is simply a lie. And in fact, you not using your gifts or feeling that way is causing the body of Christ to not function at its best. The body of Christ can only function at its best when every member sees the valuable part that it plays in the work of Christ. Some is more seen than others. Some is more brought more accolade than others. But every member and every part matters. God has created us in one body to be gathered together as His holy place. What does that look like? Well, to be completely honest, there aren't many places that look like that. But for the sake of illustration, I want to present to you a family reunion. Now, as you see this picture, it might cause a little bit of social anxiety right now, right? Because we're not allowed to do anything like this right now. But this is what life used to be like. The family gathered together around the table. And we see this giant table as a giant family, and that's what it's supposed to represent. The family, the body of Christ, gathered together. But if your family is anything like mine, or like any group of people that size gathered together, whether it be a church or work environment or family, it's hard. Not everybody gets along. Sometimes you feel left out or you're trying to avoid certain situations or circumstances. Well, that's what it's like now. But how God desires it to be and what's possible now with Christ and his forgiveness, bringing reconciliation, is no longer the bickering, no longer the isolation, no longer the separation, no longer avoiding the people that you're uncomfortable with. No, in Christ Jesus, we have unity and forgiveness. How about I show you another table? Another table that people gather around. The table that we might be craving right now. We are unable to celebrate the Lord's Supper because we're not gathered together in this place. And we'll talk a little bit more about that on Sunday, but I know, because several of you have reached out already, are asking when, how, what does this look like? And for right now, we are going to refrain from celebrating the Lord's Supper until we meet again. And hopefully your desire to receive this gift will grow. Your appreciation of the forgiveness offered in that body and blood will grow. And the recognition of what it means to be in community will grow. You see, around this table of Holy Communion, all of that goes away. All of it is forgiven. Now, in this world, that's challenging. But what it gives us is a picture, a foretaste of the feast to come. Because this is how God describes heaven. He describes it as a family of faith gathered around a banquet table, celebrating a great feast. And there's no isolation. There's no sin causing division. There's no grudges from the past causing anger or resentment. There's no awkward conversations or avoidance of those weird family members or coworkers. No, we recognize in Christ we are all important and all valued, all for the forgiveness of sins. Regardless of how you appreciate your alone time or how much you crave being together with other people, God tells us that none of us are created to be in isolation, and we all crave community. In fact, the Christian poet and clergyman John Donne said in his 1624 poem that no man or woman is an island. He's right. It was not good for us to be alone. That's why, as we consider the gospel in the terms of gracious community, we realize that that community, that perfect community, is only possible because of the baptism that Christ has given us to make us one in him. And while we can't be together physically, we encourage you to not be distant spiritually, emotionally, and relationally. Check in on each other. Make those calls. Offer forgiveness and confession for those that are overlooked or forgotten, or if you've been overlooked or forgotten. And continue to join together as we worship in this place and space virtually, and yearn to worship together again. And grow in anticipation and desire to receive the body of Christ at this altar again. And hear God's promise and hope for you once again. He's the father of the fatherless, the protector of widows. And in his holy habitation, God will settle the solitary into a home. We look forward to being together again, gathered in this place and space as the body of Christ. But we are the body of Christ right where we are. And so let's live in that fulfillment now and until we meet again. And so as we've ended each message, I want to give you 7 more words to consider and contemplate as you craft your own 7 words. This is simply this: Jesus refuses to leave his people alone. Christ is with us, and we are one in him. In Jesus' name, amen.